Welcome to another Gaslit podcast. I'm your host, Sean, and thank you very much indeed for listening, guys. I think this is episode 32, and we're going to do this one on some electrical bits and pieces. So my good old friend, Paul, used to be our electrician back in the day. And he said, oh, why don't you mention a bit more about the electrical side of what we do and come across and stuff, rather than just all the plumbing all the time. So this is just for you, Paul. So fuse spurs. So the reason why we have boilers and wiring centres and all those sort of fixed appliances, really, fixed wiring on a fuse spur rather than a plug top, is that on a fuse spur, when you turn it off, it doesn't disconnect the earth. So if you've got it on a 3-pin plug and you unplug it, all the earths are disconnected. So you don't have that layer of electrical protection. So I'll go into fuse boxes and RCDs and RCBOs. I'll do that in another episode. And I'll set up a little jig and some maybe a little whiteboard as well and do a little drawing on how it all works and disconnects and stuff for those that are interested in it. But just for this, for the sake of this video, and that's really what we're doing here. So we're just making sure that we don't disconnect the earth when we actually turn off the appliance. Most fuse spurs now are double pole. That means they'll switch the live and the neutral at the same time, and they'll disconnect both, but they'll leave the earth connected. So if there was a another live that was coming in that went to the chassis of the boiler or to the pipework or to your bath taps or wherever it would be, they're still covered and protected because we've got this multiple layers of bonding. So your gas coming into your house, if it's on a steel incoming, will have an earth cable, it should, and go back to the consumer unit or the fuse board, if you may know it that way. Exactly the same for your water. If it comes in on metallic, obviously if it's coming in on plastic, it's a bit pointless until it reaches the first little bit. So actually pure water doesn't conduct electricity. Is actually the impurities within the water that conduct. So pure water. So it's not a fantastic, that's why if you get a lightning strike somewhere in the world, we don't all get electrocuted if we're all in the sea at the same time, because it's not a great traveller in water. The immediate area, yes, but not far afield, because it doesn't travel that far. So that's fuse spurs and from the earth side. So we did a job and we had a contactor. So a contactor, they sound a bit... itchy nose. I'm recording this on Sunday, Sunday the 8th. So this is going out on Tuesday. So we've had all the heavy winds for the last few days. It's still raining. I don't know if you can hear it on the recording. So apologies if you can. It's still raining. So getting this recording on Sunday, so I might be a bit dirty and a bit unkept, as it were. But please bear with us. Going back to contactors. So when we run in like small commercials and large commercials, a fuse spur in a heating system will be rated at 3 amps. The average pump, we work it out, it's a bit less than, but we gauge them about 1 amp a pump. So a normal sort of household size central heating pump. So if you start looking at the boiler and what that will need, what the pump will need inside the boiler, if you've got one inside or an external pump, then you've got the 3-port, 2-port controls, your thermostats, all those bits and pieces, 3 amps, absolutely fine. It actually covers it without any bits and pieces, without any worry at all. So when we start looking at going up in size and we start needing a couple of pumps, then that's when we start having to use switch gear. And a contactor really is just a relay. So it's a small current that switches a big current. So if you just imagine it like that, don't overcomplicate it. So I've got a four-pole contactor here. So this was from quite a big three-phase installation. And what three-phase is basically there's three lives and one neutral, and I'll go into what that actually means, the 415 voltage, on another podcast. I'm not going to go into it this one. So what we have here is we have three lives and one neutral that go in. So whatever you put in the top will switch to the bottom. So they don't switch diagonally. They only switch top to bottom, top to bottom, top to bottom, all at the same time. So when it's not energized, it is open. So like a light switch is off, it's open. And when you energize it, it closes and makes the switch. And so that basically is a really, really basic contactor. And the way that you energize this is the little A1 at the top, you put your live in there and you put your neutral in number 2. And then, so if you've got something that's switching, like a thermostat, you take your neutral off, and a lot of people, what they do is they'll take that neutral to neutral. And this way, it was over this side. So they'll just link that straight out. And then if you've got a switch live, some like a thermostat or something like some pump control, put that into there, use very, very little current at all to draw this through, and then clonk, all four switches will go over at the same time inside. Now, a lot of time when you see these things, they'll be just a single, so they'll look like that. I'm trying to do this like, sort of just look like that. So it just look what we'll call a single DIN. And a DIN is the size and spacing of like an MCB. They're all being like your consumer unit. So this is like a triple size, although it's got four, but it's a triple size. And then you can get the smaller ones, which is just a single. And they'll just switch straight through exactly the same, just onto one side without switching the neutral. And it brings it straight through. So nice and straightforward. So this is a DIN rail, which is what you've got in a fuse box. So this will go in, but you don't have to have this into a fuse box. I've seen them mounted in consumer units, not a problem at all. And then they can put them in and they go clonk a little bit. But you can actually get separate little plastic boxes with a rail inside, and you clip them on and you bring all your wires into it. So for those small commercial and commercial installations. So don't overcomplicate these things. These are actually really, really straightforward. This is a 63 amp four pole. But you can get lighter. Typically, the ones we'll use is 20 amp on a single. So we'll have the neutral coming off of the non-RCD side of the rail. And then if they've got space in the consumer unit, we'll slip that in and we'll pop that to the end. And then we'll just have it linking out. So whenever there's any additional loads on typically on pumps, it'll just be fed from that and it'll all be done. So... that goes up, covers the switch gear side. I had a really interesting, I had an interesting conversation with someone on Friday evening. I was out with the plumbers merchants for their little Christmas evening. I won't say the name of the person because he does have a bit of a, not a unique name, but there's not a lot of them, let's just say. So, there was a bit of poking of fun that I'll do a podcast and blah, blah, blah. And I do all my videos on how to's and what things look like inside. And I do all those bits and pieces. And it takes up a lot of my time, but I do enjoy it. And I know it's sometimes you don't see the immediate fruits of your labour by doing all this stuff, but it's great. I enjoy it. So I'll give up my little bit of free time that I do have to give back and to hopefully help some people. This guy, he had a couple of beers in his belly and I turned up a little bit late. So the evening and the event was well underway when I turned up. And basically he was swearing at me. He was got really confrontational, come almost nose to nose with me and threatened to knock me out as he walked away, which was quite cowardly. He didn't knock me out. I stood there and he walked away, then come back bizarrely and didn't carry out his threats. But that's all to do with he doesn't agree with podcasts. He doesn't agree with YouTube. He doesn't agree with this is what it looks like videos. And what I'm going to say is that if you don't agree with it, turn it off. No problem at all. Doesn't fuss me. You're not going to stop me. I don't cow to bullies or people that try to intimidate other people. I don't like it. He had a massive, massive problem with, these sort of, you know, people will, DIY people will do DIY. So there's, you know, people are doing it because they're interested in it, because they can't afford to employ a plumber to do it, or or something in the middle, something in between, which it doesn't matter. We're all sort of different. We're all different human beings. Some people just want the information because when they do employ someone to come round and, you know, they've watched a bit of content like what I produce, they can say, oh, actually, I've seen it being done this way. That person's doing it a very similar way to that. And they're using similar language and terminology. Okay, I've got a bit more trust because a complete stranger does YouTube and podcasting, he's actually said it. And I'm not the only one to say this sort of stuff, but there's plenty of others out there. There's thousands and thousands around the world that do this sort of stuff. So I'm not by any means of a trailblazer by doing this. But it really really took me by surprise, actually, his attitude towards it. You know, everybody else that I've ever come across of that I wouldn't do it, I wouldn't bother. But that's down to them. That's not a problem. But for someone to threaten to knock you out, it's it was quite interesting, actually. So, but yeah, I'll sit here as I live and breathe. I've got no bruises. I've got, you know, my nose is all right, and my teeth are intact. So yeah, he didn't carry out his wishes there. But yeah, I said to him, I said, "Do not worry, mate." I says, "I'll mention you in my next podcast. You can do what you like." I said, "You have a good listen, and this conversation will be brought up." So there we are. So hopefully you listen to it, and hopefully you'll understand why we do what we do. And a little bit of explanation, you know what I mean, guys. It's a Sunday. It's very late. What's the time? 6 o'clock. I was up this morning at 4 to go and do some out of hours stuff in a children's nursery. We had to. I've got some bits and pieces to do for a little YouTube video on that, on cutting stuff open. I had a problem with an air separator, and the fill for the gravity system was blocked. So we sealed in the heating system. Put an expansion, filling loop PRV, pressure gauge. We got all that sealed in, got that done, which was a bit on the fiddly side. As I say, it took us all day up in Colchester, but we got it all done. So great. Thank you very much indeed for listening, guys. I'm not quite sure the layout for the Christmas, but I'm determined to carry on doing one a week all the way through. And I'm really, really looking forward to episode 52, because that'll be the 1 year marker. So I think this is episode 32. So we've got 20 more weeks. So there we go. Let's crack on. You take care, guys. Wish you all the best. Goodbye.